Untitled Kinkfic, read by Patika. The first time Chris comes while Adam is spanking him, Adam doesn't stop. He doesn't even falter. Just waits until Chris catches his breath and gasps out, 12, hoarse and desperate, and then keeps going. Hard, sharp swats that doesn't end until Chris's counts comes with sobs and cries. Chris is so far under by then that he doesn't even remember that he came until Adam pushes him gently to his knees and says, clean it up. He keeps a hand in Chris's hair while he licks the still warm cum off Adam's jeans. Not pulling, but not exactly gentle either. And when Chris finishes and sits back on his heels, Adam just unzips his fly and pulls his hard cock out. Put your hands on my thighs. Take them off to safe word out, he says. And then he's fucking Chris's face, hard and fast, and Chris can barely breathe, throat burning. His eyes water, and he lets himself be carried away again, jaw relaxed and fading out until Adam comes all over his face. Adam helps him up onto the bed, kissing him deep and easy. And when Chris feels almost fully present again, Adam pulls back and looks at him. I should punish you for coming without permission, he says slowly. And Chris blurts out, yes, before he can stop himself. I won't, though, Adam continues dryly, because I think you've been breaking rules on purpose, trying to get me to punish you. Is that true, Chris? It is. Even if Chris wasn't always fully conscious that that was why he was pushing those boundaries, testing Adam's limits. And he nods. Usually, when you do something wrong, I spank you, Adam says, almost to himself. And Chris tries not to flush at the thought, at the way Adam's words make his ass ache and sting all over. What did you think would happen if you broke a rule during a punishment, Chris? Adam asks. Did you think I'd spank you for longer? Did you think I'd do something else? Get out a belt, maybe? And Chris can't help it. He's shuddering and nodding and turning away all at once, trying not to want as hard as he does. Chris, Adam says, voice gentle. It's okay to like it to hurt. It's okay to want that, babe, I promise. And Chris breaks and hides his wet face in Adam's shoulder, shaking. It's okay, Adam says again. It's perfect. And the next morning, he ties Chris to the bed and flogs him until he's sobbing and coming into the bed sheets. And when Chris floats back up and opens his eyes, Adam's looking at him like he's never seen anything more brave or beautiful. And it's okay. It takes Chris a little while to adjust to the change, to the idea that spanking, that hurting, isn't just for punishment anymore, that it isn't for punishment at all, really. It's not a reward either, exactly. It's something Chris gets when he needs it, which is often, more often than he's comfortable with. And even though Adam tells him that it's okay to ask, tells him he has to ask, it takes Chris a little while to adjust. He's just not ashamed exactly, but maybe embarrassed, if there's a difference. And so the next time he gets off the phone with a label exec and wants to punch a wall and curl in on himself and hide forever, all at the same time, he snaps at Adam instead of telling him what he needs. Be quiet, Adam, God, he says when Adam sticks his head around the doorframe and starts talking about Brad's latest project. And Adam shuts up abruptly, eyes going hard. Shit, Chris thinks. But before he even has time to apologize, Adam's got a hand around both of his wrists, behind his back, the other one pushing Chris's head down. He walks Chris down the hall into the bedroom, fingers painfully tight. And Chris feels almost sick with the relief he feels as the ache of the bruises blossoms through his body. Adam doesn't order him to strip, though, doesn't get out the paddle or the cuffs. Instead, he says, "I thought we agreed you didn't need to do this anymore, Chris." And the disappointment in his voice hurts in a way that's all bad. "I'm not going to punish you for speaking that way to me," Adam says, like he's thinking it over. "I'm going to punish you for not asking for what you needed, for not trusting me with it, Chris." And he sounds sad, almost, and Chris wishes he could disappear entirely. "If I hurt you," Adam says, "you get what you want. So that's not punishment, but hurting is what you need right now. So let's compromise. Close your eyes, but take off your clothes and tell me your safe word." And Chris hears Adam open the top dresser drawer as he lets his own shirt and jeans slide to the floor. He says, "Conway," quietly. He feels Adam come closer, and then something sliding over his dick. Cold metal. "Cock ring," Adam says, and then leans Chris over to the bed, cuffs him to the iron headboard, and spreads his knees apart. "Keep your eyes closed," Adam tells him, and Chris feels his hands on his ass, spreading him, looking. The helpless exposure makes him blush and squirm, but Adam just makes a please noise low in his throat as he traces over a bruise from 3 days ago. "You look so good marked up," he says. "I shouldn't reward you like this, but..." And Chris feels something inside him unfurl with the first sharp sting of Adam's belt, something he hadn't even known was wound so tight. The second blow is harder, making Chris cry out, but by the third, he's already starting to slip under, the pain spreading like a drug through his body. "It's so good, so good." And then Adam stops, after only three, rubbing a hand over Chris's burning cheek. "No," Chris wants to beg. "Don't stop. No, please." But Adam didn't give him permission to speak, so instead he moans, low and needy. "Be quiet," Adam says, sharp, and then he's easing a finger into Chris, dry and tight, no lube at all. It's not that bad until there's a second, and then a third. Awkward and uncomfortable, and Chris can feel every pull and drag of Adam's skin against him. He wants to squirm away and push back at the same time. And when Adam eases fully into him, he almost cries out with a sudden pain. Not enough to pull him under, to let him escape. When Adam starts to thrust, though, it gets worse. Or better. Enough for Chris to drift and fade. Enough that he's surprised when Adam comes. Surprised at how painfully hard and aching his own cock is. "So good for me," Adam murmurs, easing two fingers back into Chris, voice fond like it always is after he comes. "You can talk now," he says, reaching up one hand to unlock Chris's cuffs while the other keeps twisting and pushing deep inside. And Chris says, "Please let me come, Adam. Please, I need it. I need it, Adam." But Adam just kisses him and adds a third finger, biting sharply at his lip. "What kind of punishment would it be if you got an orgasm out of it?" he asks, voice light, and Chris wants to kill him. But mostly, he just needs to come. So bad it hurts. "You should have known punishments would mean something new now," Adam says. And he rolls Chris over onto his back and pushes back into where it's already wet, hard and fast. Chris thinks he might come, even with the cock ring. But before he can test out that theory, Adam pulls out and jerks himself over Chris's chest, cum splashing up onto his neck. "Please," Chris says, and he can hear the sob in his own voice. But Adam just smiles at him, almost gently, and shakes his head. "God, you're gorgeous like this," he says. "So hard for me, so desperate. Maybe I'll keep you this way all the time, Chris." And Chris shakes his head frantically, words gone. Adam laughs. "Maybe tomorrow, if you're good," he says, and pulls Chris tight against him. Within minutes, his breathing is even and slow, and Chris thinks about taking off the cock ring, about touching himself. He doesn't. The collar is dark brown leather, an inch wide. There's an O-ring in the front and a small lock in the back. It's just seeing it makes Chris's pulse speed up. And when Adam asks if he likes it, voice less sure than usual, almost shy, he can only nod. Adam must see enough in his face to reassure him, though, because he smiles, eyes darkening with relief and pleasure. "I thought," he says, while Chris runs his fingers over the smooth leather, around and around, "that we could make some rules for it." They already have rules, Chris thinks. Rules he clings to for structure and escape. Rules that free him when his own control is tenuous and fraying. "Okay," he says, eyes still glued to the collar. Next to him, Adam shifts a little. "If you want," he says. "I was thinking, lately, sometimes, it's like the line between when we're in scene or not has been, I don't know, fraying, bleeding. And that can be good if we're both okay with it, but it can also be confusing or hard. So if you want, I thought we'd use this. You put it on or ask me to put it on you, and we're in scene. You do what I say, no matter where we are, no matter who's there to see it." Outside, Chris thinks. We could go to the grocery store, and Adam could tell me to get down and suck him in the middle of the aisle, and I'd do it. I'd have to. "Yes," he says, hardening just from the thought. Adam smiles at him, bright and happy. "When you're done, you can ask me to take it off," Adam says. "But I can tell you no unless you safe word out. I can't make you take it off unless I safe word out. Okay?" "I love you," Chris says in response, and Adam leans in to kiss him, slow and sweet. Chris lets him sink into it until he tightens his hands and the leather digs into his skin, and suddenly he wants, and now he finally knows just how to ask. He doesn't even need words, just hands the collar to Adam, head lowered, a silent please. "Fuck, Chris," Adam says reverently, and then he's locking the collar into place, hands gentle on Chris's neck. The click is almost loud in the silence, and immediately the atmosphere in the room changes, stills. "On your knees," Adam says, low, and Chris sinks down gratefully. When Adam fucks his mouth, he twists three fingers under Chris's collar, pulls it tight, and Chris sees black spots dance before his eyes, feels his skin tighten and shiver around him. "Good boy," Adam says, and comes, letting go. And Chris chokes and gasps and floats back into himself. His cheeks are wet, he realizes, and his neck burns under the collar, rubbed raw. "You did such a good job, Chris," Adam tells him, hand still cupped around his neck. One thumb strokes over the collar again and again, like he can't help himself, and his eyes are dark and full. "You can come if you want. Do you want that? Tell me." "Yes, please, I want it," Chris gets out, voice cracking. "Please, Adam, let me, please." "Take off your clothes," Adam says. "Get on your back, on the bed, knees apart." Chris does all that, and when he's wearing nothing but the collar, legs spread wide, Adam tells him to finger himself. "Don't touch your cock," Adam says. "Not until I say you can." "Please," Chris whispers, two fingers moving in an unsteady rhythm. "Adam." "It's mine," Adam says, and Chris jerks with the sudden heat that floods through him, tightens impossibly around his fingers. "You're mine," Adam says. "Another finger, now. and Chris has to bite his own shoulder to keep from coming, just from that. Adam waits until he's shuddering uncontrollably, fingers jerking almost of their own accord, and then he says, "Stop." It takes all the willpower Chris has left to drag his fingers away, clutching at the bedspread to keep them from moving. "I want," Adam says, and then he's kneeling over Chris, kissing up his chest, to his neck, to his collar. "Come now," he says, reaching one hand to wrap around Chris's cock, and the other one yanks hard on the collar, and he bites into the soft skin of Chris's neck just as Chris's orgasm threatens to carry him away, sharp pain anchoring him under Adam, Adam's hand on his collar, keeping him where he belongs. Sometimes, Adam doesn't even do anything, just ties Chris to a chair and makes him listen while he talks. They tried it without the ropes once, but Chris had squirmed and almost gotten up, and finally he asked Adam to tie him. It makes him feel held, reminds him that he's safe, that Adam's got him, that he doesn't have to do anything but hear what Adam is saying. That can be hard enough on its own sometimes. Tonight, they're in the kitchen, of all places. Ropes tight around Chris's wrists and ankles, the collar a dark band around his neck. His eyes are shut tight, but he's not going anywhere, and it's quiet except for Adam's voice. "You'd be blindfolded, I think," Adam is saying, so fucking calm, while Chris can feel the blood trying to pound its way out of his skin. "So you'd never know how many there were. Just that there was always at least one of them fucking you. Not right away, though. I'd have you suck them first. Let them fuck your perfect mouth until your lips were swollen and your jaw was sore. And when you could barely take it anymore. And you'd try if I didn't stop you, baby, because you're always so brave for me. I'd have them stop." He pauses, like he's thinking about what to say next. And Chris thinks his whole body must be flushed red with embarrassment, with the overwhelming humiliation of hearing Adam talk so calmly about this version of himself. He's also so hard he can feel pre-cum leaking onto his stomach, cooling in the chill air of the kitchen. "I think I'd make them prep you first." Adam keeps going, like Chris isn't even there. "With a dildo, maybe a vibrator. Make you come just from that, one of them holding your arms while another fucked you with it. And once you'd come, I'd have them fuck you right away, because you're so hot like that, oversensitive and mindless, such a desperate little slut. You'd whine and try to get away, but you'd push back at the same time, wanting it. Some of them would come inside you until you were dripping with it, and I'd have some of them pull out and come all over your perfect ass. Or your face. Maybe one could fuck your face while another fucked your ass. And then they'd both come on you at the same time while you're still on your knees." Chris moans helplessly, a plea to stop and to keep going all at once. He can't think anymore, can't even feel anything except Adam's words. The dark behind his eyelids replaced by images of faceless men using him on Adam's orders. "Maybe I'd have two of them fuck you at the same time," Adam says. "Could you do that for me, Chris? I bet you could, baby. You'd take it so well. You'd be perfect." And Chris moans again, a wordless yes, because he would. He'd do anything, anything Adam said. Just, please. "You'd come so hard from that, Chris," Adam keeps going, ignoring him. "You'd come so hard you'd pass out, maybe. And I'd let the last few jerk off onto you. And then I'd have them leave. Fuck, baby. You'd be so beautiful, lying there on the floor, so gorgeously dirty. Filthy, cum leaking out of your ass, matted in your hair. I wouldn't waste time looking at you, though. I'd get you into the shower and wash you off slowly. And then I'd take you to bed and fuck you. You'd be so open for me and so tired. But you'd try to stay awake, and I'd kiss your eyelids and come inside you. Chris can't stop shuddering so hard he hears the chair rocking against the table. And finally, Adam walks towards him, leans down, and whispers in his ear. And then, before you fell asleep for good, I put a plug in you, baby. Keep me in there all night, because you're mine. And Chris jerks painfully against the ropes as he comes all over himself. Adam whispers him as he unties Chris's bonds, so soft he can barely hear. Words like love and good and beautiful. Chris, God. And when they go to bed that night, Adam fucks him slowly, kisses his eyelids. But when he comes, the plug stays in the dresser drawer, because neither of them needs a reminder. I talked to Gina today, Chris says during dinner. That radio thing next week is going to take longer than we thought. I have to fly out to New York, it looks like. And it looks like I'll be gone for 5 or 6 days with that and DC together. That sucks, Adam says, passing the salad. I'll miss you. And that's it, until later in the bedroom, when Adam's fucking Chris a second time, slowed down and torturous, holding his wrist down against the bed. While you're gone, he whispers in Chris's ear, low, hot breath. I don't want you to touch yourself. Wear the collar whenever you're alone, and don't touch. He reaches for Chris's cock, stroking him slowly. This, because it's mine. And then he pulls out and comes all over Chris's dick and stomach, rubbing it into his skin carefully. He doesn't let Chris shower for the whole next day. Adam says a lot of things in the middle of sex, but he almost never says anything in vain, so Chris isn't really surprised when he's packing his bags 2 days later and Adam appears over his shoulder holding a cock ring. For at night, he explains, handing Chris the soft length of leather. No coming, even in your dreams. Chris is about to protest, because really? But then Adam hands him something else. It's the collar, polished and comfortingly solid. And Adam says, anytime you're alone, Chris. And Chris swallows and runs his fingers over it, hears himself say, yes, okay, anything, without conscious thought. You're amazing, Adam says, proud, and kisses him. And Chris packs the collar and cock ring with his boxers before he lets Adam push him to his knees. When he opens the suitcase the first night in his hotel, they're the first things he sees, and he sighs. The ring goes on first. He wraps it around his balls and the base of his cock. And it looks a little silly, but the leather is soft and comfortable, with none of the cold awareness of metal. Just putting it on, though, reminds him of Adam, and that, combined with the brush of his fingers against his dick, is enough to get him half hard. It looks ridiculous, his dick straining in vain against the black leather. And before Chris can do something stupid, like take it off, he turns back to the collar. It's weird to put it on himself. Adam's always done it for him. And Chris misses his big, gentle hands, his murmured noises of pride and pleasure whenever Chris bends his neck in a silent plea of submission. His own hands feel clumsy, inadequate. And when the lock snaps into place, he feels a sudden pang of loneliness. When he reaches a hand up to feel it, though, the smooth, familiar leather eases something inside him. Wearing the collar is a reminder that even when they're apart, he's Adam's. He's cared for, and he's never alone. The next day is easier. The cock ring feels less ridiculous somehow, and the collar is more comfort than homesickness. When he wakes up the next morning, though, he's hard, cockering uncomfortably tight around his dick, and he looks up at the ceiling and groans. A cold shower helps, but it's worse that night, and almost unbearable the morning after that. He hasn't gone this long without coming since he discovered how to jerk off, probably. And he certainly hasn't gone this long without sex since the last time Adam was on tour. His dick is hard and flushed, leaking at the tip, and every time he tries to will his erection away, all he can see are images of Adam fucking him, tying him down, commanding him. His hand twitches towards his cock, and he shoves it furiously behind his back. Getting through the rest of the day is torture. When he gets back to the hotel, his cell phone jingles out Adam's ringtone. Chris feels himself get even harder, if that's possible, and he picks up the phone with a frustrated noise. "Baby," Adam says into his ear, deep and calm, and Chris takes a breath. "Are you wearing your collar for me?" "I just got home," Chris says, carefully, and Adam pauses. "Put it on," he says, "and tell me what you're thinking, will you do?" The leather is warm in Chris's hands, and after he gets the collar, he puts the phone on speaker. "I'm thinking about how I wish you were here, putting this on me," he says. "Just thinking about you, your hands on my neck, it's making me so hard, Adam. I'm so hard for you, but I'm being good. I'm not touching, but..." "Such a good boy," Adam says, voice warm, and Chris flushes with pride. "I knew you could, baby. Do you want to? Do you wish you could touch yourself? Make yourself come?" Chris moans, low and needy. "So bad, Adam. I need to come so bad. But I don't want... I want to wait for you. I want to be good for you. I need it, though, Adam. I can't..." And suddenly, he's crying. Because he needs to come. And he needs to follow Adam's directions. And Adam isn't here. And he misses him. And he wants... And... "Chris," Adam says, sharp and low. "You've done such a good job so far, baby. Only 2 more days. And Chris nods to himself, tension easing. "But there's one more thing I want you to do," Adam says, "and it isn't a question." "Tell me how bad you need to come," he orders. "Tell me why I should let you." And Chris moans again and tries to find words. "I'm so hard for you," he says again. "Hard, and I'm wet. Wet for you. Just from hearing your voice." On the other side of the phone, he can hear Adam unzip his jeans. "My cock is so red, and it's wet. It's so hard it hurts. God, Adam, I don't know." And he's blushing, and he can't do this. He's never the talker. Adam does that part. And then Adam talks again. "I want you to finger yourself and tell me about it." And Chris groans, because he can't. He'll come. "Chris," Adam says, a warning. And Chris says, "Okay, I will, Adam." And one finger goes in easily with spit, then a second, and he tries to keep shallow thrusts, avoid his prostate. "It's hot and tight. God, it's tight, Adam, and..." The second finger slips deeper, and Chris shudders, hard, losing his words. "Good boy," Adam says. "Keep talking." But Chris can't. "I'll come, Adam. I'll come." And Adam sighs. "I was going to let you come tonight if you followed all my directions." And Chris wants to curl up with shame and disappointment. "But since you couldn't, we'll stick to the original plan. 2 more days, baby. I know you can be so good for me for 2 more days. And the belief and pride is back in his voice. "Sure." And Chris uncurls. "I miss you too," he says softly. And Adam's answer is equally gentle. "You too," he says. "Be good for me." And Chris can. He will. He gets through the next few days, mostly by checking out, unless he's being asked direct questions. When he can just let himself float, his arousal fades into white noise in the background. Overwhelming, but not all-consuming. The collar keeps him together. When he puts it on at night, he can feel Adam there, holding him, telling him how good he's being. It helps. The house is empty when he gets back. Adam's been logging long hours in the studio lately, but there's a written sheet of instructions on the table in the front hall. Chris reads it carefully, heat building inside him, and then toes off his shoes and heads to the living room. He puts the collar on the coffee table, takes off his clothes and folds them neatly, then grabs the lube from under the couch cushions and fingers himself open, making sure he's wet and well-stretched. Finally, he kneels in the center of the rug, hands on his thighs and head bowed, entirely naked, except for the black cock ring still tight around his hard dick. Chris waits more than an hour, feeling his neck start to ache and his knees bruise. But even when he hears the creak of the front door swinging open, he doesn't move a muscle. Only his heart responds, picking up until he can almost feel it pounding against his ribs, sending hot flushes of heat through his body in anticipation. "Gorgeous," Adam says from behind him, so reverent it's almost a groan. "I've missed you so much, baby. Fuck." And then he's kneeling beside Chris, stroking his cheek. Chris doesn't move. "I'm so proud of you," Adam says, picking up the collar. "That must have been so hard, Chris, but you did so well. You're amazing. You're perfect." And Chris finally feels like he's coming home, returning to himself. The collar clicks into place around Chris's neck, and he feels himself start to slip under almost immediately. Adam's hands on him, Adam's smell surrounding him after so long, and it's impossible to hold on. Distantly, he feels Adam push him forward onto his hands and knees, fuck into him. The cock ring is still on, and Adam hasn't told him to come, so he just detaches and sinks under, letting Adam use him, vibrating with the joy of coming back to this. "Chris, come back," Adam says, hands on Chris's face. And Chris feels something warm dripping down his thighs. Adam must have come, and he didn't notice. "Didn't notice," he says vaguely, and Adam kisses him. "Your turn now to get what you need," he says softly, "what you missed." And he helps Chris up until he's leaning forward over the arm of the couch. "The cock rings off," he says. "Come whenever you want, but you have to count." And then he brings his palm down, hard and painful and blindingly good. And Chris only makes it to four before he comes so hard he whites out, waking up to the sting of Adam's hand on his ass. Home. "Shh, babe." Adam's voice is almost a hiss. It's so soft. And Chris feels the syllables like ropes wrapping around him, tying his limbs in place. He lets his eyes slip closed, and that's good. That makes it a little darker, like he can pretend they're somewhere else, in private. "Come on, turn around," Adam says, and Chris lets himself be pushed into position, hands up against the wall and feet planted carefully on the ground. There's not a lot of room to maneuver, but Adam figures out the logistics for him, crowds up behind him until he's all Chris knows. "Good boy." Chris can hear the buzz of the party one floor down echoing through the unlocked, his mind reminds him, double doors that mark off the stairway. It's a low throb of noise, a backdrop broken by the splashes of color that are Adam's teeth on the back of his neck, hard and brutal. Saw those people looking at you. Hot words against his reddened skin. And you were looking back, weren't you? It's not a question, but Chris can't help it. I wasn't... Shut up. The next bite is harder. Enough to maybe break the skin. Chris bites off a cry, chokes it down, locks his body in place. Adam licks over the bite, drops his voice down another impossible octave. Slut. Aren't you, baby? Such a fucking slut. I'm gonna fuck you. Right here, out in the open. And you're gonna fucking love it. Because you can't get enough, can you? No, Chris wants to say. Never enough, Adam. Not when it's you. Never. But all he can do is shake his head frantically, desperate, because Adam's moving too slow. His hands paused on Chris's hips, and there's not even the furious sting of his teeth anymore to help Chris escape from the crowd below and the fact that anyone could come up here right now. Head for the bathroom, or turn the corner and see. And then his hands are up above his head, tethered to the wall under one of Adam's big palms. And Adam's other hand is down at Chris's waistband, undoing his slim black jeans. He cups Chris's cock and pauses. And Chris can feel his smirk, hear the way he tastes each syllable when he speaks. God, you're so desperate for me. All pride and filth. And then Adam's tugging the jeans down until they're around Chris's thighs, bundling them together, sweaty and tangled. Adam's not touching his cock anymore. Fuck. And he wants to rut against the wall. Against anything. Please. And then there's a whispered, no. And Adam tugs his hips back until he's thrusting helpless at the air, hands still pressed against the wall. And he'd forgotten about the plug, almost, with the fur of everything else. But then Adam's touching it and twisting it, pushing it in once, hard, before he tugs it out, and Chris has to bite his scream into the flesh of his own shoulder. He's too empty, like a sudden vulnerability, until Adam pushes in, one near brutal thrust, and Chris lets go. Because Adam's got him. Want someone to walk by? Adam's half groaning into his ear, words that shine across what's left of Chris's awareness. See you like this. Me fucking you. Taking you apart. See that you're mine. My own gorgeous fucking. And there could be 10 people watching them. 1,000. And maybe there are. Chris doesn't know. Only knows the grit of the wall beneath his palms and the feel of Adam's sweat dripping onto his shoulders. The brilliant fucking ache of Adam in him. The way the world whites out to nothing when he comes. Adam's hand barely touching his cock. Adam holding him up when he starts to fall. Chris knows something up the second he walks into the living room. There's a sheet spread across the leather couch, and Adam's standing in front of it, holding a shopping bag. He pauses, unsure of what to do next. And Adam looks him up and down slowly. He murmurs, appreciative. And Chris shivers, partially from the cold air. Adam's left the window open, and lately Chris hasn't been wearing anything but the collar when it's just the two of them at home. But mostly from the low rumble of anticipation he hears in Adam's voice. What are we? He starts, and Adam smiles. First rule. No talking. No noise without permission, he says. And Chris feels himself nod without even really thinking about it. They don't do that often, because Adam likes to hear him beg. But he likes it. Likes letting Adam take control of that part, too. Second rule, Adam continues, putting the bag down on the coffee table, is that you come whenever you want, You don't need permission. That one is new. Chris can only remember a handful of times since they started this that Adam hadn't made him beg to come, or even just not let him come at all. It's a restraint he was used to, comfortable with, and he feels a little exposed all of a sudden, kind of like he does when Adam takes the collar off him before he leaves in the morning. He nods, though, because if Adam wants this, there must be a good reason, one that Chris can trust. Adam's taking things out of the bags now, arranging them on the table, and, oh, there's at least two plugs, a slender one and a much larger one, a vibrator, a tube of lube, a little silver egg thing, a dildo. Fuck, that's gotta be the biggest one Chris has ever seen, maybe. And something else that looks like a rubber ball with straps attached. Ball gag, Adam says, seeing Chris look at it. He walks over, puts a hand under Chris's chin, and tilts his face up for a long kiss, Chris melting slowly against him. I thought it might be too much to ask you to be quiet all on your own, Adam says, but if you aren't sure, we don't have to use it. Chris shakes his head, because he thinks he can do this, be quiet on his own, even though he still doesn't know what exactly it is Adam has planned. Tell you what, Adam says, we'll start without it, and if you make too much noise, baby, I'll gag you. He says it so matter-of-factly, casual, and it makes a shudder of heat spread through Chris's body. He starts to make himself calm down, to settle in for the long wait before Adam will let him come, then remembers that this time there is no wait. This is going to be fun. Adam's sitting on the couch now, shirtless, but with his slim black jeans still on, and he pats his thigh. Come here, baby, he says, kissing Chris when he walks over. Lie down, okay? I went to the store today. As Chris settles over his lap, ass in the air, feeling the sharp thrill of embarrassment that never really goes away when he's exposed like this. And I couldn't decide what to get, so I thought, why not get it all? Chris feels Adam reaching over him, hears him unscrewing the loop, and we'll see what we like best. The sheet is cool under Chris's cheek, but it heats with the burn of Chris's blush when he feels Adam spread him open, look at him carefully before he does anything else. So pretty, Chris, Adam says, so casually he might be remarking on the weather. And then his fingers are rubbing over Chris's hole, wet and cold with lube. Let's start with the plugs, Adam murmurs, loud enough that Chris can hear him, that he won't be taken by surprise by what Adam does next. The plug is the small one, Chris can tell, and Adam doesn't even have to finger him open, just pushes it in slowly until the flare base is settled against Chris's ass. It's pressing against his prostate, just lightly, and Chris feels himself harden a little further. Arousal, still a comfortable warmth, not a burn. Looks good on you, babe, Adam says, and then he's pushing it in further, twisting it, and Chris jerks unexpectedly and presses back, trying to get more. This will be good for outside the house, Adam says, then slaps Chris's ass lightly as he pulls it out. Settle down, baby. We've got a long way to go. The next plug is the big one, and the stretch as it goes in is edging in sharp pain, enough to make Chris grit his teeth to stop himself crying out for more, for faster. When it's all the way in, the pressure inside him is a heavy, inescapable thing, and he tries to rock his hips against Adam's denim-covered thighs, because fuck, he's hard. He waits for Adam to slap him again, to tell him to stop moving, but the order doesn't come. Instead, Adam laughs a little and says, "You want to come already? That's fine. But like I said, we're not done yet." And he bends to drop kisses down Chris's sweaty spine. "I like you laid out for me like this," Adam says conversationally as he reaches for the next toy. "We should do this more often. Make it a regular thing." And then Chris hears him turn the vibrator on. He doesn't put it in right away, though. Just presses it against Chris's hole until he's jerking back against it, frantic, trying to get it in or off or somewhere. Just move, Adam, please. And he hopes Adam doesn't hear the tiny whine that escapes his throat. He must not, though, because finally, finally, he presses it in. A long, sweet slide that has Chris rocking harder, trying to fuck himself on it, to get it pressed up against him, inside where, oh fuck. And he's coming hard, just barely managing to press his shout into the couch where it can't be heard. God, you're so hot when you come for me like that, Adam says. And then he doesn't stop, doesn't take the toy out, just turns it up higher, higher, until Chris can barely stand it. Frayed nerves and too much. And every time he tries to get away, it feels like he's just rocking back into it, taking it deeper. He wants to sob, or maybe scream, but he can't. He can't make noise, and instead he bites at the sheet until he feels it start to rip in his mouth, bites his own lip until he tastes blood. When Adam finally takes the vibe out, Chris barely feels it, realizes with a shock that he's half hard again, too soon. And then Adam's picking up the gag. If you can't do this without hurting yourself, he says, almost angry, and, oh, the blood on the sheet from Chris's mouth. We'll have to use this. And the taste is rubbery and awful, but now Chris can scream and bite, and it's okay. I think we'll skip the egg, Adam says, voice calmer now. I want to have you suck me off with it inside you the first time, but I don't want that gag out of your mouth right now. Chris feels a wash of relief because he can't. He doesn't think he could take it right now. Fuck. But then Adam speaks again. The dildo, though, that'll work. And then Chris can feel the tip pressing against him, blunt and fucking huge. That's right, baby. Open up so nice for me, Adam's saying. And it stretches and burns. And every time Chris thinks that this must be all of it, Adam keeps going, pressing it into him, slow and devastating and impossible. When he starts to fuck Chris with it, Chris cries out, a sound that's choked off by the gag. And he can feel tears leaking from his eyes, feel his cock hardening fully again, painfully against the rough, wet scratch of Adam's jeans. You take it so good, Adam is saying, the way you open up for it, for me. I could play with that gorgeous hole all day, Chris. Fuck. And the brutal slide goes on and on, pressure building and tearing Chris apart until he comes again, screaming into the merciless rubber of the gag, world flashing white and then out. The first thing he feels is Adam's hand stroking down, up, back, gentle and slow, all the way to his neck. He unbuckles the gag and puts it on the table, then lifts Chris up, helps him until he's slumped in Adam's lap, head on his freckled shoulder. You okay? Adam asks, and Chris can only nod and murmur some noise of assent, because mostly he's tired. God, you were so good for me, Adam whispers, licking carefully across his bloody lip. So gorgeous, Chris. I'm so proud of you. Chris feels warm and heavy and loved, and when Adam unzips his jeans and lifts up on Chris's thighs, he goes happily, sinking down on Adam's hard cock with ease. Don't move, baby. It's okay, Adam says, pressing kisses into his neck. I've got this. And he rocks them slowly, with his arms strong around Chris. There's no way Chris can get hard again, but it feels nice, like a gentle, familiar flush of warmth. And then Adam comes, going stiff beneath him and choking out a broken endearment into Chris's ear. He smiles and lets himself fall asleep. The